What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And today we're bringing y'all, really, Woody, wouldn't you call this kind of like an episode of what this podcast is really about?
Yes, yeah, it's the meat and the guts of it. Hey, but real quick before we get, I want to talk about our other podcast real quick, Real Life, Real Crime Daily.
Yep.
Y'all, it's Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And starting next week, it's going to be on its own feed, meaning that we're going to give you the links and everything to it so you can automatically click over and go to it. And you'll get notifications as soon as the drops come out. And they're all those episodes of Fire. Some of them are very funny. Some of them are very serious. It's Jim and Chapman and I and Mike Agravino. And the show has had such success. We're taking off the Real Life, Real Crime regular feed and putting it on its own feed.
It's like a baby that you watch grow up, and right, then you put them in their own room and they leave your bed.
Yeah,
we're letting it leave the bed and have its own room.
Yeah, and I kind of think it's kind of like the Howard Stern of true crime shows.
Oh, man,
it's fire. It's,
It really is, folks, and it focuses on current crime and, yeah. and things that are in the headlines, all related to the crime genre.
Right.
And look, some of it is even, very hard to hear and serious, right. and some of it's funny as shit. Right.
And they even have games and shit, like Jim beat me again yesterday on one of the games. But
Shawshank.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to give you all that shout out. And thank you to our listeners on Bloody Angola. And thank you so much for our Patreon members. Y'all rock. And yes. I know you've been getting a lot of episodes. And we love y'all and we appreciate you. A lot of big things coming. We continue to grow. And it's because of y'all. Thank you.
Amen.
All right. So this episode, like you said, Jim, is the meat.
And we're going to call it laying out the wire.
Laying out the wire. 18,000 acres worth.
18,000 acres. And we're going to tell y'all, you know, one thing that Woody's described many times on this show. He has a lot of experience with Angola, and he's always talked about the out camps that they have and the beeline. And, you know, there are so many pieces to Angola that we find absolutely interesting. We know you're going to find it interesting too. So we're going to kick it off with the inmate quarters. So the state of Louisiana, they consider Angola to be a multi-security institution. 29% of the beds that they have in Angola, those are designated for maximum security inmates.
Right.
And these inmates, as we've described in the past, they live in housing units and they're kind of scattered all throughout that 18,000 acres.
Right.
Believe it or not, y'all, it wasn't until the 1990s that air conditioning and heating units had been installed inside these housing units. Before that, you sweated.
I'll tell you that most of them still don't have air conditioner. Now the heating is a bigger deal. Most of them have the big giant box fans and so the air conditioner, that's a little bit misleading because probably 50% of it still doesn't.
Right.
That's one of the reasons the radio is so popular. The inmates love, the convicts love to get heard in the radio because the infirmary is the air conditioner now.
Yeah, there you go.
Lay up in there for a while.
That's it. Look, I
eat some Jell-O.
That's right. Look, when I was a young buck, I worked for a company and they went in the plants and they would build units. And I was a pipe fitter helper. Mm-hmm. And
I did the same thing.
Yeah, man. That's what you want to work when you're 19. And go, man, do that.
Go work you a turnaround.
Yeah. You make tons of money, but man, it's 100 degrees out there. And the whole point of that is I would do everything I could to get, they would have these little units where you go get tools and stuff like that.
Bath shops and stuff.
And they would be air conditioned.
Pipe room. Yeah.
And I'd go get what, you know, just bullshit stuff just to go in that air conditioner for 5 minutes. So I can dig it.
On one of the jobs I went on, this is funny. The bathroom, it was a long line of stalls, you know, with the cubicles.
Oh yeah.
People were going there and taking naps in the air conditioner. So the head foreman of the job cut off the stalls, cut off the cubicles like halfway down so you couldn't sleep in them.
Oh my God.
In Angola, they don't even have those.
No, they don't. Now, most of the inmates, they live in dormitories rather than like cell blocks.
Right.
So, explain that.
I think that is a huge misnomer for people. They think that it's all cell blocks. It's not. And most of the dormitories house at least 100 to 125 inmates, and you have two dorms in each section, right? So you have two correctional officers, one watching one. There's a desk, a raised desk in the front, and one's watching one dorm, one's watching the other. And then that's simply so they can house more inmates. And most of these convicts are there forever. They're not really a bad problem. If you're a problem, you're on a cell block.
Yeah, there you go. And you might wonder why they do that. And it's actually makes sense when you learn. And that is the prison administration, what they believe is that these inmates living in dormitories, they develop friendships and relationships.
Almost with, like a sense of community.
Yeah. And you got to remember, when you're in Angola, you have life sentences or very, very long sentences. Yeah. So if you put them in cell blocks, it really puts them in a hard mental state. Right. So that was actually planned that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, the ones that are on cell blocks, when you first get there, you're on a cell block for X amount of time until they figure out where they're going to put you. But if you're in a cell block in Angola, that's because you fucked up something on the inside.
Yeah.
It's not what you do on the outside, unless it's death row. It's not what you do on the outside that determines how you live inside the wire.
That's right. So that's kind of a breakdown of the inmate quarters.
Right. So I'm going to tell you about the main prison complex, y'all. Now, remember, 18,000 acres and all these different complexes are spread out. Pretty ingenious in a way because, you know, they have different fields that are worked and they work from different areas. But the main prison complex consists of the East Yard and the West Yard. And then the East Yard has 16 minimum and medium custody prisoner dormitories and one maximum custody extended lockdown cell block. The cell block houses long-term extended lockdown prisoners, in-transit administrative segregation prisoners, and inmates who need mental health attention and protective custody inmates. Now, that's what I work, Jim.
Yeah.
These guys that are locked down on the maximum security cell blocks, it's not like Camp J where they don't get out of their cells. These guys actually go out to work, and it's two men to a cell instead of one. But they can't live in the general pop because they got caught with fighting with weapons or raping somebody or drugs, something, or attacking an officer, some kind of major charge.
Ugh.
So the admin seg cells, if you're just a regular Joe Blow and you get swung, as you hear us talking about, they send you to the whole admin seg until you have your court hearing. And then it'll determine whether or not they're going to send you to the working cell block or release you back out in population for whatever penalties. But the West Yard, y'all, has 16 minimum and medium custody prisoner dormitories, two admin seg cell blocks, and the prison treatment center. The treatment center houses geriatric, hospice, and ill in-transit prisoners. As of 1999, the main prison complex houses half of Angola's prisoners.
Now, wrap your head around that.
That's a lot. That's over 2,500.
That's an aging population in Angola.
Yeah. So dormitories within the main prison include ash, cypress, hickory, magnolia, oak, pine, spruce, and walnut, right? So they name them all after trees, naturally. Then the cell blocks are A, B, C, and D. The main prison also houses the local main prison administration building, a gymnasium, a kitchen dining facility, which is a huge, y'all, the mess hall, the Angola Vocational School, and the Judge Henry A. Pulitz Educational Building. All right, so what they're doing here is they have these 2,500 approximately inmates, and they're all inside this wire. Now, at each one of these complexes we tell you about are secure within the cells with gun towers and wires and now the wolves and all that,
yep.
The wolf dogs. So, but it's like its own mini city. It's got everything, you know, churches and the infirmary, whatever, vocational schools. So they can the movement of these inmates is still contained inside of that section of the prison.
Yeah, and it's very similar to if there are any listeners out there, I'm sure there's a ton that have been in the military.
Right.
It's very similar to a military base, right, but a lot more controlled.
It's a military base with wire around each individual camp, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. But totally self-sufficient. And, you know, Woody, you mentioned in there about the half of the Angola prisoners being housed in these hospice and treatment centers and all that sort of stuff. Look, aging prisoners that are 65, 70 years old, cost nearly four times the amount to house. And it's because a lot of them are in hospice. A lot of them have, you know, just health issues from aging. And, And so you'll see these aging prisoners sometimes get released if they've been in there 40 years and they're dying of cancer. A lot of that is the cost.
The deal is when you get sentenced to the Department of Corrections, the state of Louisiana's job is to house and care for you. And so if you got hemorrhoids or you got a bad tooth or you got cancer or whatever, they got to treat you. Yeah. And it's the law.
That's right. So we're going to tell you a little bit about the out camps. And, of course, you've heard us talk about that. Angola has several. Camp C, for example, includes 8 minimum and medium custody dormitories, 1 cell block with administrative segregation, and working cell block prisoners. And they also have 1 extended lockdown cell block.
Right. And so it almost mirrors the main prison. But go ahead.
Yeah. And then Camp C includes the bear and wolf dormitories and the jaguar and tiger cell blocks. Right. I named those obviously after animals. Camp D has pretty much the same features as Camp C, except it also has a working cell block instead of an extended lockdown cell block.
Right. So let me go back and clarify that again for y'all. When I said where I worked the working cell block, that's exactly what it was, but they really didn't work that much. They had to get up. By the time you check them out, and they all worked in the field under the gun, by the time you checked them out and they got their tools, it was basically time for the first break. And then they worked till lunch break, work a couple hours, and then they come back in, check in their tools. They're back in by like 4 o'clock.
There you go. And Camp D, now they house the Eagle and Falcon dormitories and the Hawk and Raven cell blocks. And of course, Camp D became notorious in 1999 when a Captain Knapps was murdered inside the education building in Camp, but that was Camp D. So it became notorious after that. Camp F now, it has 4 medium custody dormitories in the dog pen, which houses 11 minimum custody inmates. All of the prisoners housed in Camp F, y'all, they're trustees. They mop floors, they deliver food, and they perform other support tasks.
Also, Camp F is where I spent my time inside the wire at the training academy. It's housed there also. And we lived in the dormitory. I think it was 8 or 12 weeks and went to classroom all day long. And we ate with the convicts in their mess hall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Made you not want to go to Angola, I bet, as a prisoner.
Or as a correctional officer.
Camp F, interestingly enough, y'all, also houses the execution chamber, which you wouldn't think the trustee dorm would house the execution chamber, but it certainly does. And Camp F actually has a lake where the trustees fish.
Let me tell you about that. They have convicts whose only job is to go out and catch fish every day and clean them and then prepare them for, most of the time it's for the dignitaries, the people that come in that the regular inmates don't get them. But some of the best fried fish you can get.
Wow.
And some of the best damn fishing. I got pictures of my daddy as a little boy when my grandfather was a judge in the black and white photographs, and they have hundreds of sackalay that they caught right there in that lake or pond, whatever you want to call it.
Unbelievable. And, you know, I don't know if I've shared this story on the show yet, but I actually had another show that I produced, and a former inmate of Angola came in to kind of tell a story. And he had told the story of a guy who had been a trustee at Angola for like 60 years.
Right.
Look, they let the Angola guards and administration pretty much let this guy roam wherever he wanted to roam. And he was a good fisherman. And every day it was his job to catch the fish for the inmates.
Right.
So one day, you know, he's off fishing and they notice about 20 hours later that he never came back.
Yeah.
And they go out there and they end up finding poor guy died in his pea row. And he was out in that lake fishing and had a heart attack or something and died, but he died fishing, which is what he did for Angola.
Pretty good way to go there.
I guess he probably wanted to go that way. Right. So, Anyway, that's what Camp F is, where the lake is that the trustees fish in. It's really off, y'all, from the rest of the prison. It's kind of its own in its own little section. It's kind of off from everything
else out there. I'm going to tell you, like, it's like, you wouldn't believe it. It's like a 15-minute drive or more when you get inside the gate to get there.
Yeah, so very interesting. And it also houses the CCR unit, which is closed cell restricted. That's an isolation unit located near the main entrance. It has 101 isolation cells.
That's for the worst of the worst. That I'm not what you did on the outside, what you do on the inside. And that's the ones that kill other inmates or guards or, you know, guards or whatever.
Yeah, and it also has 40 trustee beds in the CCR unit, and you may wonder what the deal is with that. Well, the trustees are the ones who keep it clean. Yeah. Look, when you're in CCR, you don't get out.
Right. They keep it clean. Look, a lot of times they gas, and which means they throw shit and piss on the thing, or somebody might shit themselves in the cell. I had a lot of that. People just cover themselves in their own feces, and somebody's got to clean it up, and the inmate or the convict that did it didn't clean it up, and so they have to remove them from the cell, and you go and clean it up. But they also have to cook and feed for them and do their laundry and cut the grass and shit. I mean, everything's got to be taken care of.
That's right, and formerly housed Camp J until Camp J was closed in 2018. If you're not familiar with Camp J, we got a whole episode dedicated to that. It's really good.
Simply the worst lockup in the United States of America until it's closed.
And Camp J, when it was open, housed the alligator, barracuda, gar, and shark cell blocks. And Woody is known for catching gar.
Right. I like my gar. I like my alligator also.
Shoe pick.
I don't mind a shark either. The shark, though, when you fillet, you know a shark doesn't have any bones?
Yeah.
And then
I did know that, actually.
You put it under, people say you can't eat shark. That's not true. You cut it into steaks and you run it under cold water until the meat stops bubbling. And then it's like tuna.
I'm going to tell you what, I went fishing one time in the Gulf and offshore. And everybody was laughing because they were catching redfish. Yeah. All I caught all day was shark. And look, that sounds fun. Let me tell you, it's fun to fight them.
Right.
But it will wear you out after about five of them.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. I was a shark killer. That's what they called me.
Yes. all right. Let me tell y'all about reception center in Death Ray. The reception center is the closest prison housing building to the main entrance. It acts as a reception center for arriving prisoners. It's located to the right of the main highway inside the main gate. So picture this. You come through the main gate. They shake you down, shake your vehicle down. No, look, you have to, especially if you work there, you got to drive to wherever you're going. And as soon as you come in to the right, besides the beeline, is the reception center, right? I mean, it's building. It's the first thing you're going to see. In addition to it, it contains Death Ray.
Ooh.
That's what people are shocked by a lot of times, that you would put Death Row right inside the gate.
Yeah.
But that now, where Death Row is and where they kill them at in Camp F is a long, long, long ways away where the death house is. So right before they kill them, a couple days before they kill them, they move them to the death house and way in the back of the prison, and they put you under 24-hour security watch. Have somebody sitting in front of your cell 24 hours because they want to make sure you don't kill yourself before the state of Louisiana gets to.
Wow.
So in addition, it contains the death row for male inmates in Louisiana with 101 extended lockdown cells housing condemned inmates. The death row facility has a central room and multiple tiers. The entrance to each tier includes a locked door and color photographs of the prisoners located in each tier. So that's why you can't, when the CO is walking the tier, they can make sure you're the one supposed to be inside that cell. And believe it or not, they actually had, and we'll talk about it in detail one day, the four inmates that try to escape from death row. I think it was in the 90s, but we'll get to that later on. But death row includes eight tiers lettered A to G. Seven tiers have 15 cells each, while one tier has 11 cells.
Now, when you say tiers, are they stacked on top of each other?
No, that's another misnomer. It's tiers everywhere I've been. I've been to all of my in the state of Louisiana at one point or another. But tiers are long, straight hallways with cells on one side, windows on the other, okay, or fans or whatever. But that's for security reasons, so they can't face each other. And imagine on death row. If I could sit across from you, it's not like the Green Mile, right? If I could sit across from you, I'm going to fuck with you all day long. Probably a mental case or whatever. Or like they said Derek Todd Lee did to Gerald Bordelon. They would just ride his ass, even though they couldn't see him. From the time they woke up at night, they were like, hey, baby killer bitch, why don't you just go ahead and kill yourself and all that. So tiers are long, straight hallways that I've made 14 million rounds up and down in my career. The death row houses exercise areas with basketball courts. The death row facility was constructed in 2006, and there is no air conditioner or cross ventilation. And let me tell you all that. The exercise area, they don't let them all out in the yard at the same time. That's when they get their 1 hour out, and it's little screened in. Basically, a dog cage is what it equates to, but they have to give them that by certain rights because they've sued over the years and stuff like that. But yeah, it's stinky, it's nasty, and
I can imagine as a guard, you don't really want to work that.
No, and I think I may be wrong on this now, but it used to be death row. You had to volunteer to work there because it takes. And if you want to be removed from there, they would move you somewhere else because people get burned out. I mean, you're dealing with like.
Do you get any extra money for working that? They should at least give you $1 extra an hour or something.
Right. Like the hazard pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in addition, the reception center has one minimum custody dormitory with inmates who provide housekeeping for the facility. And they're talking about death row facility, y'all. In June of 2013, three prisoners filed a federal lawsuit against the prison and court in Baton Rouge, alleging that death row facility does not have adequate measures to prevent overheating. Well, they're right.
Woody would agree.
Yeah, but I don't agree that they deserve it. The prisoners said that due to pre-existing medical conditions, the heat may cause health problems. Brian A. Jackson, the district federal judge, ordered collection of temperature data at Angola Death Row for 3 weeks to determine the conditions. During that time, Angola officials blasted outer walls of the prison with water cannons and installed window awnings to attempt to lower the temperature data. That's funny. In response, Jackson said that he was troubled by the possibility of manipulating the temperature data. On Monday, August the 5th, 2013, the federal trial regarding the condition of death row in high heat started. The following day, Warden Burl Kane apologized for violating the court order regarding data collection. On Wednesday, August 7th, 2013, closing arguments in the trial ended. In December of 2013, the same judge, Judge Ryan Jackson, ruled that the heat index of the prison was cruel and unusual punishment, and therefore a cooling system must be installed. Well, that was new for me, y'all. By 2014, a court order plan to install a cooling system was underway. So now you're housing them with your tax dollars and cooling them off.
And wrap your mind around this. So basically, I mean, that's pretty ingenious by Burl Kane. Maybe a little bit illegal, right. But
that's called.
Go wash down the walls.
What you gonna do to me? And hey, it wasn't correction officers washing down the walls. He had trustees out there. I mean, he was like,
drop that temp a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's only 167 ingenious. In there, right? As of May of 2019, the issue was close to being resolved after a 6-year-long court battle. A settlement has been reached between the death row inmates and the prison. You know, one of the things they did, I remember just popped back in my head on the dormitories and stuff and in the rec rooms. They had the big fans, but you know what they would do? They had inmates whose only job was to bring in those orange igloo coolers full of ice water. So at least you have something cool.
That's right.
Anyway, the settlement agreement calls for daily showers, then I can assure you that was much needed. For the three Angola inmates of it, at least 15 minutes, individual ice containers, here it is, that are timely replenished by prison staff. That's not true. That's convicts. I'm pretty sure the correctional officers never filled up.
My ice getting low in here.
Individual fans, water faucets in the cell. Icy breeze units are so-called Cajun coolers. And the diversion of cool air from the death row guard pod into their cells. Now, that's funny. The Cajun cooler, I mean, to me, that's when I buy a 12-pack in the thing, and I don't have an ice chest in my car, so I pour a bag of ice in there, right? And it'll keep it cool until the cardboard melts away. On this, they're taking ice chests, and they're putting a fan behind the ice chest and blowing the cool air from that. But the funniest, the COs in that pod that are running everything, they got air conditioner. So now, I don't know how they do it. I guess through bars or whatever, they put in a little fan there and blowing a little cold air down the tier.
Now we're going to tell y'all a little bit about the Beeline. You've heard about us both talk about the Beeline in past episodes.
My mama was raised there, and I've got all the photographs. My grandfather being the first parole officer to ever live on the grounds of Angola on the Beeline, and mom was a little girl with her two little sisters. Now, y'all, this is inside the wire, and they had the trustees that cooked for them every day and did all the stuff. And mama said when her baby sister was born that and evidently they were born there also. I don't know, but she said that she remembers my pawpaw saying, I've never had so many biscuits in my life. Like everybody was there congregated and they cooked for them, cleaned for them, everything. What did you tell them about?
So, Beeline, why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with the dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/bloodyangola and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/bloodyangola.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Very interesting. They actually had an elementary school called Tunica Elementary School. Yeah,
for the Tunica Hills, which surround Angola.
And that would, all the children on the Beeline, which there were a lot of kids, you know, you had families.
It's a whole city. I mean, everybody that lives and works there.
So they would go to school at Tunica Elementary School and all go to school together. They had a group of houses, of course, called the Beeline, and that was for prison staff members and their families. And inmates would actually perform services for the staff members in their households. They would, you know, some of them had, I don't know if you call them butlers, but.
No, basically what it was. I mean, hey, yeah. It's a pretty good deal. I mean, it's a pretty good perk because they weren't making any money.
That's it. They'd cut the grass for them, all that kind of
paint
stuff.
Paint the houses, them, yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
Every little thing.
They have rec centers there. They have pools. They have parks, just like you'd have, right. You know, in any community. And they even have an Angola Beeline Chapel that was dedicated back in 2009. Residents are zoned to the West Feliciana Parish Public School System. So, as Woody just mentioned, Tunica Elementary School, which is in West Feliciana Parish, that's the public school there where the elementary school is located. But they go to those West Feliciana public schools, and yeah. They actually have several more on the Angola serving the Angola grounds, including Baines Lower Elementary School and Baines Elementary School, which is located in Baines.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely outside the gate, and probably back in the day, that road used to take you 30, 40 minutes to get up the road. It was a curvy, small two-lane road. Now they made it pretty much like the Autobahn. They cut it straight through the hills, but Baines is a little ways away.
Yep, it's actually about 4 miles from Angola, right. And is several miles from the main entrance. Many of its students live on the grounds. And, you know, the sad thing is you go through budget cuts. We talk about this in prisons. That's the first thing legislators look to cut is their prison budget because, heck, man, who wants to pay for prisoners, right? The problem is, you know, in one of these budget cuts in 2011, they actually had to close Tunica Elementary.
Right. And y'all, that is not a direct result of the budget cuts from West Feliciana Parish, because West Feliciana Parish is one of the, if not the richest parish in the state of Louisiana. And that is because way, way back when in the 70s, they built the nuclear plant there. And they deferred their tax options for however many years to get them to come there and locate. But once the taxes kicked in, West Feliciana, now West Feliciana is small, okay? And St. Francisville being really the only town, but
it's beautiful.
It is,
y'all. It's the hills of Louisiana, is what I call it.
And it's on the Mississippi River and all that. That's what my mama was raised after the Beeline. But West Feliciana Sheriff's Office has horse division. They have their own helicopter. They've got everything because they get all this tax money. Well, the tax money that comes from the nuclear plant goes three places. It goes to the sheriff's office, the school system, and the parish government itself.
Yeah.
So, y'all, let me tell you about this. Now, you think it, when I say city and you say 6,000 inmates and however many COs and all their family members and whatever, that's bigger than the town I grew up in. But they have, Angola also has its own fire station. And the fire station houses the Angola Emergency Medical Service Department staff who provide fire and emergency service to the prison. The Angola Fire Department is registered as department number 63001 with the Louisiana Fire Marshal's Office. The department's equipment includes one engine, one tanker, and one rescue truck. Within Angola, the department protects 500 buildings, including employee and prisoner housing quarters. The department has mutual aid agreements with West Feliciana Parish and Wilkinson County, Mississippi. All right, I'm going to talk about this for a minute. You got to think about this. They have their own EMTs. They get used more than anything. So you got 6,000 inmates, whether it's a stabbing or an old person dies or somebody has a heart attack or whatever it may be, they actually respond. It's like a 911 call. They hit their pagers or the beepers and goes to the control center and they call them out. They dispatch them out. But believe it or not, they actually have fires in Angola. And one of my buddies was over a couple of years ago at my bar and we were drinking, and he was an EMT at Angola. And but he also doubled up as a firefighter, and they had a big fire one morning in one of the vocational schools. So, I mean, it happens. But this is just really, hopefully brings it home for you. It's really its own city.
The main entrance to Angola has an etched monument that actually refers to the Epistle of the Philippians 3:15, and reflecting the historic dominance of the Catholic Church in South Louisiana. And y'all, if you're not from South Louisiana, you can't really grasp it. But look, you start getting in, especially the Cajun French country of Louisiana. If you don't have a Mary statue in your front yard, people are raising eyebrows at you.
That's how we have Mardi Gras and Lent and everything else. Very, very deep Catholic roots in South Louisiana.
That's right. So that's kind of an ode to that. And in the 2000s, the main prison church, the churches for Camp C&D and a grounds chapel were constructed as part of an effort to build chapels for every state-run prison facility. Yep. So they really put a lot of effort into getting, you know, religion out there into the prisons. They saw what Angola had done with that and what Burl Cain had done with that and how it seemed to bring peace or more peace to the prison. A staff and family of the staff chapel was under construction, and they would get donations from outside. And look, the prison rodeo, the ticket sales to that would fund these churches. So it wasn't something that the public was funding. It was something they were getting either donations through, or of course the rodeo, which is very popular. We'll do an episode on at some point. They would get the ticket sales and they would apply that. The Camp C Chapel and the Beeline Chapel were both dedicated on the same day. And the most recent structure is a beautiful chapel, y'all, called Our Lady of Guadalupe. And it's 6,000 feet. That structure was built with over $450,000 worth of donated materials by Latin American businessman Jorge Valdez and Fernando Garcia. So they actually, that's some businessmen with some deep pockets that are doing some good, right, Woody?
But this next part just blows my mind.
Yeah, so its design resembles the Alamo.
That's crazy.
And I'm going to put a picture up on the Bloody Angola. I might do a little blog on this and put it on the Bloody Angola website as well. But I'll put it on the Facebook for sure. And it is just absolutely beautiful. Looks just like the Alamo. And it was built in 38 days by 50 prisoners, y'all.
That's crazy. 6,000 square feet.
6,000 square feet, 38 days. I can't build a bathroom in 38 days. You heard?
I can't build anything.
It opened in 2013. And it includes seating for more than 200 features, paintings, furniture, and stained glass windows crafted by inmates. And me and Woody are going to be going to Angola and doing a visit hopefully soon.
Yes.
And we're going to look all the things we're telling you about today. We're going to have pictures and we're going to tell you more about it. We're real excited about that.
We'll be able to tell you individual stories from each one of these locations.
Absolutely.
And the tour guides. And yes, Angola has tour guides.
Yes, they do. And actually, Kelly Jennings, who was on the show, was a tour guide at one point for Angola.
Shout out.
So we'll definitely bring you some information more on the Alamo of Angola.
Yeah, and it's crazy. So, you know, also, y'all, this is going to blow your mind, I think. The recreational facilities in, like, Butler Park, prison staff members have access to recreational facilities on the Angola property. Angola has ball fields, the Prison View golf course.
The Prison View.
It's really a nice golf course. It really is.
Yes. I got something to say about
that. A swimming pool, a tennis court, and a walking track. All right, so you get it all right there. You live on a beeline.
It's making me want to go work at Angola. I got a maid.
So Lake Killinari, an oxbow lake of the Mississippi River located on the prison grounds, has large crappie fish. Some people call them sakale down here, crappie, whatever you want to call them, white perch, and the best eating fish in the world.
Big as your hand.
Y'all, an oxbow lake is simply means it's like false river. It's where the Mississippi River over time has shifted course, and it blocks off like a bend or a stretch of water that used to be part of the Mississippi River.
Oh, dang, what are you full of good information?
Yeah. The President Administration controls access to Lake Killarney, and few people fish there. The crappie fish grow very large. Remember I told you I have the pictures of my daddy as a young boy fishing there. Butler Park is a recreational facility on the edge of the Angola property. It houses gazebos, picnic tables, and barbecue pits. As of 1986, a prisoner who has no major disciplinary issues for at least a year may use the property. It's crazy, right? The Prison View Golf Course, all right? Prison View Golf Course is a 6,000-yard, 9-hole, 36-par golf course. It's located on the grounds of Angola. Prison View, the only golf course on the property of an American prison, is between the Tunica Hills and Camp J at the intersection of the Beeline Road and Camp J Road. All individuals wishing to play are required to provide personal information 48 hours before their arrival, so the prison authorities can conduct background checks. Convicted felons and individuals on visitation lists are not permitted to play on the golf course. So basically, y'all, if you don't want to go play the golf course in Angola, you can. You just got to get a security clearance. Current prisoners at Angola are not permitted to play on the golf course, but I bet you they cut that grass. The golf course, constructed on the site of a former bull pasture, opened in June of 2004. Prisoners perform most of the work to construct the course. Prisoners that the administration considers to be the most trustworthy are permitted to work at the golf course. Warden Burl Kane stated that he built the golf course so that employees would be encouraged to stay at Angola over the weekends. He wanted them available to provide support in case of an emergency. Pretty ingenious, right?
Very ingenious. Yeah. And let me tell you, there's somebody, Woody, that listens to this show, and I'm talking to you now. You know who you are, and you actually designed the Prison View Golf Course, and you were an assistant warden at Angola for years and years, and your I believe it was your dad or your grandfather was actually the warden at Angola, right. And you know who you are,
right.
And you said you was coming on the show, and me and Woody would love to have you on and talk about especially, you know, the process of designing that golf course. Right. So you're out there. I don't want to shout out your name just yet, but get in touch with us, message us. We look forward to having you. Yeah, definitely. Let's make it happen. So,
all right, y'all, let me tell you about the guest house. The Ranch House, as it's called, as a facility for prison guests. James Ridgway of Mother Jones described it as a sort of clubhouse where the wardens and other officials get together in an atmosphere for chow prepared by inmate cooks. Originally constructed to serve as a conference center to supplement the meeting room in the Angola Administration Building, the Ranch House received its name after Burl Kane was selected warden. Kane had the building renovated to accommodate overnight guests. The renovations, which included the conversion of one room into a bedroom and the addition of a shower and a fireplace, costs approximately $7,346. That's because of the free labor. Traditionally, prisoners who worked successfully as cooks at the Ranch House were later assigned to work as cooks at Louisiana Governor's Mansion, and that's so true.
And
you better believe they can cook, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Look, all this talking about the layout's making me want to go live there at least for a day.
Hey, if you're listening, because we've been saying we're going to do the tour, et cetera. If you're listening, I know a lot of y'all are, shout out. First of all, I'm going to give just a shout out to the correctional officers and all the people who make Angola run every day. We've never done that, I don't think, and we really do appreciate y'all. But we want to come have a full-blown tour, maybe two. So reach out to us.
Yeah, please do. Just shoot us a message on Facebook is fine. I know a lot of you catch it there, or go to the website. You can message us there, and let's make it happen.
Right.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cemeteries. Yep. So obviously, you have a prison. You got to have a prison cemetery when you're the largest maximum security prison in America.
And mainly because a lot of these people are going to die there. You go in for however many years, and you're first in, and your family keeps contact, then your parents die off, and your grandparents die off. And a lot of them, by the time it's their turn to die, they don't have any family left.
That's right. So Angola had established Point Lookout Cemetery, and that was established in 1927.
Yep. Y'all check out a full episode that we've done on that.
Absolutely. And then Point Lookout kind of got full, and so they had to have Point Lookout 2, which is also a prison cemetery, and this is located on the north side of the Angola property. It's at the base of the Tunica Hills, and deceased prisoners from all state prisons, not just Angola, right, but all state prisons have been buried there who were not claimed and transported elsewhere by family members. So if you had a plot somewhere that was a private family plot,
right,
certainly you could be claimed and buried wherever you want. But as you can imagine, most prisoners, they were buried.
Funerals aren't cheap. And no. Now another episode we did, y'all need to go listen to, where we talk in detail about the casket making and the burial process.
Absolutely. And a white rail fence, y'all, surrounds a cemetery, and it's a beautiful cemetery.
Right, they keep it up.
Keep it up.
And convict labor.
Yeah, that's right. And another reason they had to create a Point Lookout too, and this is something not a lot of people know, but with Point Lookout, a 1927 flood actually destroyed, destroyed that cemetery, which was located where Camp C and Camp D are located now. And in September of 2001, they installed a memorial at Camp C and D, and they kind of dedicated that to unknown prisoners.
Right.
Now, the Point Lookout plot established after 1927, so Point Lookout 2, has 331 grave markers and an unknown number of bodies.
Right.
But they consider it full.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that. Now, it's Point Lookout 2 is 100 yards east of where the original Point Lookout was, and it was opened in the mid-1990s. It has a capacity of 700 grave sites, and as of 2010, there's 90 prisoners buried there.
Yeah, well, guess what? I can guarantee you with the rate that convicts are dying nowadays, you can look out for Point Lookout 3 coming at you real soon.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Angola Museum.
Yes, let's do.
It's operated by a nonprofit Louisiana State Penitentiary Museum Foundation. Is an on-site prison museum. Visitors are charged $5, adult admission fee $3 per adult if the group is 10 or larger. The museum is located outside the prison's main gate in a former bank building. Isn't that cool that they even had their own bank at one time when my mom and them were kids? Of course, they had their own post office and all that. But anyway, get back to it. I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it is.
And we'll be bringing y'all a lot from there. And the convicts that work it, the trustees that work it, are the only trustees. Well, I can't say the only ones, but are almost the only ones who work unsupervised outside the wire.
There you go.
So the Angola airstrip, and believe it or not, the Angola has its own airstrip or airport, y'all. The prison includes the Angola airstrip. The airstrip is used by state-owned aircraft to transport prisoners to and from Angola and for transporting officials on state business to and from Angola. The airport is used during daylight and visual flight rule times. All right, so let me tell you about this. My mom was on the parole board many years ago in the late 80s. and they used to fly them in to the different prisons. So I can pretty much assure you they almost never fly in convicts. It's not Con Air. They're busting them in. But the airstrip, people come in, and whoever, dignitaries, governor, or whatever, come in, they fly them in there. It's faster. You have to fly from Baton Rouge Airport to there. It takes probably 15 minutes.
So the guardhouse has long barriers with stop signs to prevent automobiles from entering and leaving the compound without the permission of officers. To allow a vehicle access or egress, the officers manually raise the bars, just like you would you would see at an Air Force base.
And we're going to tell you a story one day of an escape attempt that ended at that guardhouse.
Now, the front gate visiting processing center has a rated capacity of 272 persons, and they do processing and security screening for prison visitors. You know, people that come in to visit, obviously, the people at Angola, they want to make sure they're not smuggling anything from shanks to drugs. So also, the United States Postal Service actually operates the Angola Post Office on the prison grounds. Many people don't realize that.
Tell them when it was established.
1887.
October 2nd, 1887. That's a long time.
That's a long time ago. And the David C. Knapp's Correctional Officer Training Academy, the state training center for correctional officers, is located on the northwest corner of Angola in front of Camp
S. That's the same place it was when I went to y'all, but Captain Knapp's hadn't been murdered at the time. And like the Brent Miller firing range, that's another series we did. That's not really a place that you want your name up. If your name's up on, well, the Butler Park, he was a former warden, but if your name's up on something out there, that means you're dead.
Yeah. So near the training center, Angola prisoners maintain the only nature preserve located on the grounds. The R.E. Barrow Junior Treatment Center is located on the Angola premises. And, you know, Angola is kind of world-renowned for their treatment centers.
Yep.
Also, the C.C. Dixon Canine Training Center is the dog training area. Of course, we've done episodes on the amazing work that they do with canines in Angola. Mm-hmm. Check out Wolf Dogs. Yeah, great episode. Wolf Dogs, great,
super episode.
It was named in 2002 to commemorate Connie Conrad Dixon, who was a dog trainer and canine officer who died in 1997 at the age of 89. Wow. And the Louisiana State Penitentiary Wastewater Treatment Plant, which you got to have a treatment plant in the largest maximum security prison in America. It serves the entire complex, and the prison also houses an all-purpose arena.
Yep.
Which is where they do the radio.
That's right. And they built that too. The history of the infrastructure. Camp H, a prisoner housing facility that is no longer in service. Camp A, the former slave quarters for the plantation, was the first building to house inmates in the early 21st century. Camp A did not house prisoners. Charles Wolfe and Kip Lornell, authors of The Life and the Legend of Leadbelly, stated that during the 1930s, Angola was even further removed from decent civilization than it was in the 1990s. The two added, that's the way the state of Louisiana wanted it, for Angola held some of the meanest inmates. In 1930, about 130 women, most of them black, were imprisoned in Camp D. In 1930,
people don't know that.
Yeah. And my grandmother worked there in the early 40s. But in 1930, Camp A, which held around 700 black inmates, was close to the center of the Angola institution. Inmates worked on levee control as the springtime high water posed a threat to Angola.
Yep.
The Mississippi River was nearly 1 mile wide in this area. Many inmates who tried to swim across drowned, and few of their bodies were recovered. Yeah, I can imagine that, y'all. The prison hospital opened in the 1940s. The campus had only one permanent nurse and no permanent doctor. Y'all listen to another episode of Bloody Angel. We talk about the angel. They call her the angel. In the 1980s, the main road to Angola had not been paved. It has since been blacktop. Now, I was there like 89 or something like that. It was blacktop then, but it still wasn't straightened out like it was. It was a curvy-ass road to the Tunica Hills. The out-camp buildings constructed in 1939 as a WPA project during the Great Depression were renovated in the 1970s. During May 1993, the building's fire safety violations were reported. In June of that year, Richard Stalder, who was the head of the Department of Corrections when I was there, the Secretary of the Department of Corrections said Angola would close the buildings if LDP and SNC did not find millions of dollars to improve the buildings.
And there you have it. And look, you mentioned Lead Belly in there. We need to do an episode on Lead Belly.
Lead Belly. That's some original music. Very inspiring music. And shout out to Thomas Kane for doing her.
Yes.
He headlined his first full headliner gig
at the Texas Club.
Yeah. They said it had a hell of a crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And he rocked it to the point where they had to pull him off the stage at 12:30. He was supposed to quit at midnight.
Come on.
He was just jamming it out.
I hadn't heard that, Thomas.
I'm sorry. I missed that, man. Brother. And love every time I hear that theme song.
Yeah, yeah. It's all love. Yeah. He wrote along with his wife Lucy and another gentleman. They wrote that song for us, and we were just absolutely honored and really appreciate you, Thomas. And that was a fun episode, Woody. Right. I hope y'all kind of got a good grasp of what Angola is outside of just a prison.
Right.
You know, it's so much history to this place. I love these kind of episodes.
I do too. And then we told you it always brings something different. But everything we just told you about, think about this. There's 6,000 of the worst murderers and rapists and just horrible people.
Yep.
House there.
Yep. Wrap your mind around that.
Yeah. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. We appreciate you, Patreon members. Thank you so much. Couldn't do it without you. Y'all keep sharing and downloading and liking and keep helping us grow. We appreciate it. We've had such mad success and we're blessed. And we love y'all to pieces.
And I have been getting several messages from people asking, when are you going to do another live? Right, and maybe something in the fall. Right. We'll look at doing. We really appreciate the interest, and we love doing that. It's fun.
And we'll try to schedule for that LSU off weekend.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. So until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overson.
Your host of Bloody
Angola.
A podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace. That was a good one. Okay.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.